This is the Board of Education meeting for July 10th, 2007.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Board of Education, West Covina Unified School District Board of Education regular meeting, July 10th, 2007. This evening's meeting was opened at 6:30. We went to closed session. Regular session opened at 7 o'clock. We'll start this evening with an invocation of counsel.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees, and we're grateful for the chance that our staff has to recharge over the summer. We're grateful for our kids and their parents and the diligence that they put into their education. And Father, we'd ask a blessing on this meeting, that it would be one that is productive and focuses on how we can best educate the children of this district. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Ms. Spence?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Mr. Fuller?
Here.
Mrs. Fuller?
Here.
Mrs. Mason?
Here.
We had no items, no action items taken in closed session this evening, so I will not issue a report of action taken in closed session. I have nothing to report. Any of the board board reports? Mike? What, George? Yes. Okay. Items from the floor.
At this time, we would like to introduce the California Teachers Credit Union representative, who would like to make a presentation to the board president. This is Annette Hill. Would you please come forward?
Oh, good. Yeah.
You should probably go out in the middle here. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. It's $4,800.
Yes. My pleasure. Isn't this to you and the real one?
and the real one behind it to Reuben.
It's going to be on Azusa and where?
We're 99% sure it's going to be Azusa and Arrow Highway.
And Arrow.
The mall where Home Depot.
Okay.
So it's pretty centrally located.
Okay, great.
And that's Azusa.
Azusa. Azusa.
Thank you again for being here. Is there anybody that would like to address the board this evening? All right, then we'll go right into our business session. And are there any changes to the agenda? Any additions?
Mr. Cox, would you like to introduce the new assistant superintendent?
Apparently so. ladies and gentlemen, I would like... Here, you do it.
To introduce Mrs. Mary Kaufman, who is replacing Dr. Rob Adias as our Assistant Superintendent of Personnel. Welcome, Mary. We're delighted you're here.
Thank you.
Welcome, Mary, and thank you for being here this evening. All right, now we'll go to additions or deletions to the agenda.
Take off number four.
Take off number five.
Hmm.
Okay.
I'll move.
Maybe I'll move. Okay.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for Kent. Consent items for a regular meeting with the removal of items number 4 and 5. Any objections? Motion is so ordered. which brings us then to item number four, Mr. Fuller.
In going through the plan, the revisions, I noticed there was a number of items for English language developers and CLEP, CELT, and other items. I went back and looked at the San Jose's book, and it indicated 1% English language learners.
That's correct. They have about 19 students.
And only one of them is an early beginner, no beginners, but one early beginner and the rest intermediate and advanced.
That's correct.
Is this the same as our district?
No, it's not.
I know Orangewood and West Cove have 15 and 16% English language learners. And
correct.
Many of them beginners. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
Special ed, are they in the same? Are they equally representative through it as the district? Or
no, they're not.
They have fewer numbers?
Yes, they have fewer numbers.
Okay. This reflects the overall plan as resubmitted to the school site council, and it's been met with their approval.
Correct. Seven of the 10 members have responded positive. Yes.
Okay. And E2 has been removed.
Yes, it has been removed.
That's all I have.
Questions, comments? Is there a motion for this item?
I'll move this item.
Is there a second? By Cami Pulse, seconded by George Fuller. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? There are no oppositions. Motion passes 5-0. Item number five, Mike, you asked this one to be brought up.
Yes, I did. After Mr. Coombs left the high school, wasn't there a problem with the discovery of falsification and deliberate falsification of time cards coming from that from the high school?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would like to separate out the change here for Carla Robinson on page 5E. I would move approval of the rest of it except for that change.
Is there a second?
No second.
Any objections? Motion passes 5-0. Is there a motion on Carla Robinson?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the change for Carla Robinson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passes 4-1. Item number 13 is the next one I have.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the National School Board Association, it's my understanding that the information that we received is not completely accurate regarding the National School Board Association. Would you clarify?
You mean at the
yes.
This meeting?
This meeting, as presented to us in the agenda here.
Okay.
The national affiliate of the NSBA, what they do is they try to do a 25% introductory offer to get districts to join. And if the board was interested in joining for a year, they would take 25% off of the basic program that they have, which would mean that for the first year it would cost the district $3,563. The second year it would go up to around $4,700 and the following years at $4,700. There's another piece of their organization that as you add pieces to it, it could be up to $7,000. For example, they have what is called the National School Boards Urban Boards of Education. That's an additional amount. But for the basic affiliate membership, what they've told me is that for a district of our size, this first year, if we committed to the membership before August 1, we would get the 25% introductory offer at $3,563. And they gave me a list of what that includes, a number of resources regarding information that you would have access to. It also would have a lot of discounts for national conferences, technology. For example, the National Technology Conference that's coming up, it would be 50% off. So they do some things that the California School Boards Association doesn't do, even though the California School Board Association belongs to them and also gives you some discounts. This just broadens, according to their representative, the number of things that you would get, including discounts at other meetings and conferences that CSBA doesn't have. Now, that doesn't mean that we know what those are at this time, except one that's coming up that's a technology conference, and they're saying that CSBA can't get you the 50% discount, but that they can. So they would have monthly newsletters that would be mailed to you regarding policy research briefs, regarding the No Child Left Behind updated information, Center for Public Education, Key Work of School Boards, Leadership Insider. Those are among some of the things that they would be mailing as resources. In addition to that, they also have national sample policies so that you can compare those to the ones that the California Association gives you. They have emailing groups. They have newsletters that would go biweekly to your homes. School grants. Grants. So what they do is they also collect all of the grants that are available, and they would fax it to both the district. They would include all of you, myself, and one other administrator is the way they've told me for this membership. The CUBE Annual Conference, Online Center for Public Education Opportunity. So basically they have explained that their resources and their support to school district go beyond what the California School Boards Association would offer us.
Second year was how much again?
$4,700.
Well, first year is $3,000.
$3,000. The first year,
$3,000.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
$3,563 and $4,500. Ongoing membership. But I asked to be reviewed, and I appreciate what they found. I thought it would be prudent to have a discussion concerning it because we've gone to a number of conferences. I personally have found the conferences to be advantageous, to be informative, to be involved, and I've heard from other board members that they've also found that it's been advantageous. Also, I don't know, 7 years ago, I might have said no, national school, and getting involved in the national arena wouldn't serve our purposes. But with the ongoing situation with, in terms of the national agenda, No Child Left Behind, federal funding for special education, federal funding for Title I, federal funding for education overall, I believe it's important that we become involved. It's also what's going to happen in terms of Nickleby, what's going to take place, what changes need to take place. I don't necessarily agree with everything the National School Boards Association has done, but I believe it's it has been investing in terms of revising that legislation to make it more realistic in terms of local districts and what they can deliver. In addition, we have heard it at this board table, we've been under increasing pressure in terms of local autonomy and maintaining local autonomy. And I know the California School Boards Association has worked to obtain that, and so has the National School Boards Association has worked to obtain local autonomy. So it would seem at this point it would be worth at least discussion to see if it would be advantageous to join both organizations at this time.
Both organizations being, I'm sorry.
CSBA.
CSBA and NSBA.
And NSBA.
I know. So, but we're only discussing tonight
NSBA.
NSBA, right?
NSBA.
Okay.
Right. To also add NSBA may be a better way to state it.
Any other questions? You said that it compared to, you didn't say. How did it come, you said that you found it advantageous, but how would you compare that to what we get out of CSBA?
Well, CSBA provides state input, provides state insight, works with the legislature, and I know it's also working with NSBA, at least this with the website reports, in terms of national legislation. The one thing that CSBA continually offers us is ongoing reports and changes to legislation that we need to update our policies and being concerned with, budget insights, things of this nature that go on at the local level. So,
I think that I'm the only one that hasn't been to a National School Board Association conference, so I really don't have any idea, where we are and what how it compares to what, excluding the policy issues and that we get from CSBA, and that is the primary reason for belonging to CSBA. Other than policy issues, do the others of you agree with George's assessment based on your attendance at these extravagant conferences that are frequently out of state and bordering on international plan?
Last one, you're right, was in San Francisco, so you're right.
Right word.
I've only been to one, and they had a vast variety of sessions to choose from, more than they do at CSBA. So I came away very informed. When we put a cap on our travel, you had to pick and choose what conferences you went to. Because it's less expensive to stay within the state, I haven't gone to CSBA. NSBA, excuse me. So even if we join that with the cap we have now, it would be difficult to go to both the conferences.
So if we allocated that this fee to what we're going to take, so in effect, that's an interesting idea. So in effect, of what we're taking, what we've allocated to ourselves as far as a travel allowance and conference allowance amongst us, can we just allocate this cost against this for NSBA then, and reduce then what we would otherwise be able to go to as far as conferences and that?
I think you have about $5,000 for, isn't it? Almost 5,000.
4,000? You're up to
4,000 each.
Each.
And I think Cammie's point is well taken. It depends on where the NSBA conference is and how much it costs to get there and how many other things you want to attend.
I agree. And I'm not debating it. I also look at some of the other programs going. For instance, this year, special education is not receiving funding that it has in the past. We also have Title I that's not necessarily receiving funding. NSBA is working on that national level to advocate increasing it.
Do we have
some of our budget this year?
Has anybody been to any conferences? NSBA sponsored seminars, I guess would be a better term.
Other than the conference.
Other than the national conference locally that we've been to that have found.
Yeah. And the conferences are hit and miss also. I found the first year I went in Chicago was not as informative as it was this year in San Francisco.
First?
Next year.
Jeez.
I know how to travel
within
my budget.
Oh my God. It's because you didn't have to travel the other days that I have
is
to travel.
Is there a motion on this item?
Oh, hold on a second. I'll move.
Okay.
I'll open up more discussion. Is there a second? Mike, go ahead.
What, did it die?
It may have.
Well, then I don't need to say anything. I mean, if we're moving on.
We may, based on your insight, we may be able to.
But you have
either a second to that motion.
I was going
to
vote against it.
No, he can't discuss until he has a second. Yeah. So somebody has to second it for purposes of discussion, yes, sir.
Okay, so that motion fails. Now I want to hear from Mike.
You
can. We didn't have a second. We didn't have a second. The motion failed.
To discuss it, you have to have a second.
No, because we were discussing beforehand.
His mission files. Do you have any other?
Oh, I fails. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I was going to vote against it. So, don't rock the boat.
I will say, maybe to review this next year, I would like more information on the fact that we are a member of CSBA. Just, I know for the CUBE conference, we wouldn't have gotten the 50%, but how does it compare to the national conference where we do get a discount for being a member of CSBA, what the difference is, and what advantages there would be to being a member of NSBA?
Well, they're willing to send somebody to make a presentation if that's what it takes. You know, they're willing to do anything. They sent, I gave the board president a notebook that they sent, and, I mean, they inundate you with information. We didn't bring it forward at the time. Yes. And now, I keep getting more information, but they're even willing to come and answer questions if the board is interested. Just know that, you know, these discounts, of course, you know, they have timelines.
August 1st.
Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that they would lobby any differently if we were on board or not on board for NSBA, I mean for No Child Left Behind, for Title I.
For NSBA, they would
lobby
once
differently.
Once we're on, baby, that's just, it's, you know, the rules bars. We're in control.
No. We could change everything.
That's like saying I don't belong to this council, don't belong to the Council of Exceptional Children because they're going to do it anyway. I mean, I somewhat belong to it because I happen to believe in what they're doing.
And if you didn't believe in everything they did, would you still belong?
In everything?
Well, because, well, wait, I mean,
that's not this
discussion. I know, but
that's
that would still be.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so if there's no other motion, we'll move on to the next item.
Okay, the next item has to do with joint use agreements, and we promised the board that we would come back and update you on two things. One is our overall master joint use agreement that Ruben will describe, and also our update on negotiations or on talks with the city regarding the $500,000 and the athletic field at the high school. So, Mr. Frutos, would you come forward, please?
Met with the city of West Covina now three times to discuss our mutual interest to have an agreement for the use of shared facilities. Initially, the city was going to draft language to develop a master agreement. We had come to agree on several points of interest, timelines, how the facilities would be maintained, etc. And we came to several points that the board has received in the past that served to develop our agreement. And what I'm going to do today is that I'm going to present to you the beginning of what we believe is the master joint use agreement. The concept that we have is that we're going to develop a master agreement that will cover all our facilities. That has the major points, including timelines, liability, litigation, how to deal with some of the cost issues, what to do with emergency needs, et cetera. Then for every facility that we choose to have an agreement, we'll do an individual agreement that will have the specifics of that facility, times of use between the two agencies, responsibilities for maintenance, improvements, who owns any attachments, if the agency that did the attachment leaves, what happens. So basically, this is the presentation on the master joint use agreement that you've seen before. The first thing that we did is we covered Civic Center Act. Civic Center mandates that our facilities be available for certain uses of the community. Both agencies have the same obligation, so they're just noted. The second one is the term of the agreement. Obviously, the city would like a longer term. We have a choice. At this point, our agreement has tentatively listed 10 years. It's up to the board to decide whether we want to entertain a longer or shorter term. This is a draft at this point. Early termination, what we did with early termination is share that either agency can terminate the agreement with a six-month notice. Since there are potentially some monetary agreements,
then additional information would probably be included, saying what happens if either agency terminates early, if there would be some type of a liability or a financial obligation. Number four, which is one of our biggest points, is what happens with facilities that are owned by the district in case we have an emergency need. And this is where the discussion began at the last meeting with the city. They gave us their interest of any time that the district doesn't use the facility, they would like to use it. The first thing we said is there are times where the district has a very difficult time predicting exact times. An example would be CIF championships. We don't know if we're going to make it. If we make it, it could extend. Or we could become, the cities don't have that obligation, a National Guard site. That's just part of the way we operate. So what we wanted to make sure is that in our facilities agreements, we had a point that said, ultimately, we are the owner of the facility. If the board decides that there's an emergency need, it supersedes any type of arrangements that we have made with anybody.
They wouldn't be open during the school day.
Correct. That's only for after hours or weekends, primarily weekends when we don't have it. Number five would be the description of the individual.
In this emergency need, is a CIF type use afterwards? Is that
characterized as kill Ruben if we can't use it?
As an emergency?
This is for emergencies, but we also have language for uses like CIF. We were talking about what happens when there are uses that are not predictable. So this is one of the clauses that deals with that. Individual joint use agreements, which is 4.5, is where we would begin to insert the different facilities that we have and we use. One of the recommendations that the city made is what happens when we have disagreements. So we are proposing that we would have a group that would be the working group to try to resolve any issues.
Okay, back on number five. You have here listed just the track and field at West Covina. Do we have an existing agreement with the Edgewood facility?
You know, we have old agreements that refer to the pool and the fields here. I don't know that there's one specific for the track. I don't have one. But as we both share agreements, we do have one for the pool and for the adjacent facility.
Okay, so, I mean, I realize this is a draft, and in here you have 4.41.
Exactly. 4.2 could be the Edgewood pool.
4.2 would be the, okay, you would add that in on
exactly.
This.
Exactly. Any facility that we have with them would be added as another point in that particular area, and we'd have an individual agreement just for the specifics of that facility. One of the things that we wanted to make sure with the city and that we are asking for information is whether they have a notion that any of the agreements are in perpetuity. And so far, their legal counsel has not responded. And we don't believe that any of our agreements are in perpetuity, which means all of them could eventually make their way into this agreement.
Actually, I would be more surprised if they weren't, if they didn't sort of revert back to an effect a month-to-month agreement or a non-existent agreement.
They all seem to have automatic renewals unless either party says that they are terminated.
But renewals for extended periods?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. A year?
Yeah. Five. Sometimes.
Five.
But at any point, we can terminate and say we're going to bring them into this, which is what we're going to be doing. The ownership of sites, furnishing, and equipment is another area that we want the city to agree. As you know, when you have facilities, whether it's a court, a gym, a field, there can be installation of lighting systems, scoreboards, a variety of things. And what we want to make sure is, since we own the facilities, if there are any installation of any equipment, that we don't have the problem where there would be a reversal of costs or a bill back. We want to say, if it's installed and somebody leaves, you can take the facility, the installation that you did, but leave the facility in the condition that you found it, or else the facility that you installed or the equipment reverse to the owner, which is us, and that's the clause that we put there. Project funding. One of the areas of concern is what happens if the facility begins to generate funds, or if there are costs associated that are covered by a grant or an outside funding. And what the district is asking, what we're recommending that is done, is that the cost of maintenance of the facility is the first recipient of any additional revenues, and both agencies share that. So, for example, if there's an event that generates a significant amount of money, we would say that some of the funding doesn't go to the agency that procured it, but that some of the funding goes to the maintenance of the particular facility. The city didn't seem to have a problem with that at this point, but I'm sure once they look at that against whatever revenues they receive, they might have questions. Capital cost, a similar notion. If there are costs associated with the facility, We are asking that they're shared in proportion to the usage of the facility. So if there's wear and tear in the facility and both agencies are benefiting, that there's a maintenance cost that both agencies share.
The project funding, if the city runs a sporting event, soccer or baseball, and the parents pay a fee to an organization, does the organization keep all that money, or do they pay part of that to the city now?
You know, I'm not real privy on how AYSO behaves, for example, but I know how club soccer behaves because I belong to that. And the organization keeps all the money that are for tournaments if they organize. So let's say that somebody did a club soccer tournament in West Covina or a football tournament, whatever. The money would come to the organizing agency. In our case, since we probably would not be the organizing agency, what we would say is that the agreement has some type of, you know, proportion that comes towards the maintenance of the facility. And that's what we're asking them, just to look at it and to have recommendations. Right now, the way it works is, because we have been working off of an offshoot of Civic Center Act, if there's any money made out of any of our facilities, we don't really benefit towards the maintenance unless, for example, at the pool, where we have shared maintenance agreements. But that's the only time that we have some type of benefit.
So right now, that's the only where
money...
As
far as I know.
Okay.
Sharing and disclosure of fees. One of the challenges that I had before when we did this at a different place that I was working is that the disclosure of fees was very difficult to do. Some folks say, well, we didn't make any money this year, or you made a lot of money, whatever. So what we agreed to do is to have what we're proposing, and hopefully they'll agree to do, is to have a unified system of accounting where we don't really care who keeps it as long as we have access to it, and we know what the facilities generate. The same with collection of fees and allocation of fees. We're probably not the agency that will be benefiting the most from any of our facilities by procuring outside events, but we want to make sure that we have access to the allocation of fees. Donations, same idea. Disclosure and use of donations will have to be part of a mutual agreement where we both share the information. And we are again asking the city to consider that some of the amounts are used for the maintenance of our facilities, whichever facility it is. And finally, consideration. One of the areas of concern is how do we put in any amounts that have been discussed with the city into a master agreement that hopefully will serve us for years to come. So what we are proposing to the city is that there's an area in the agreement that's just for the consideration and that could sunset once that has been done. So if we continued with the notion that the city is going to contribute, let's say, $500,000, this is the one area where that money would be discussed. It really has no obligation for the district, so I doubt very much that the city is going to like it in its present form, because what is written right now is you're going to give us $500,000, here's the agreement, you have some usage, and after 2 years, it ends. They're probably going to come back and want, you know, many years of obligations or whatever, but this is the draft that we created, so right now it's fairly unilateral in benefit of the district. It does say that they can pay us in two payments, $250,000 each, and at the end of the second year, if they decide to end the agreement, there's no obligation by the district to return any of the money. Now, it is unilateral if they end the agreement. We didn't put any language of what happens if we end the agreement. My guess is that they'll propose that part. The other part is that we didn't have any type of amount, and if you can see in the agreement, it reads X and then a bunch of zeros, as to any other amounts that would be contributed to our facilities. If eventually this encompasses several of our facilities, there might be an annual contribution towards the maintenance of those. I just put the language there. I doubt very much that the city is going to put a number there that they're happy with to begin with, but it at least shows the fact that there can be an annual contribution towards the management of all the facilities that the district shares with the city and that are of mutual benefit. After that, the only other articles that have, I believe, significant language that might be different than what their attorneys are accustomed to are improvements. All improvements have a level of obligation by the person doing the improvement to secure approval by the district. That would be you, the board, meaning that if I'm an agency that is in partnership with the district, I can't just go and do something, even if it's wonderful, and erect a piece of equipment or put a new facade or any type of electronic equipment without approval from the board. Maintenance is the same situation that I mentioned before. We did a specific article that deals with the fact that maintenance needs to be done by the agency that uses the facility in proportion, and that the facility needs to be returned to the district in the condition that it was received. I was focusing primarily on the field. The field has sensitive areas that can be damaged if, let's say, there's fire or hot items or somebody spills something on the track. So we were very careful in drafting language that say, if you use it, wonderful, good partnership. If you damage it, we will bill you and you have to pay for that repair. And the only other area that I have that I didn't include here because it's fairly simple and common language is all the liability language. I did give it to you over the weekend, and it basically says both agencies will have liability insurance. Most public agencies have it anyways, but we specify terms that are to the level of our district. The other thing that I said is in case of a dispute, we did have an article there that shows what are the steps where we would have a potential resolution of any type of disputes. We expect City Council to review it. They already have a copy of it. And when they looked at it, it was a little more comprehensive than what they were proposing, which was a simple time agreement. We use it for this time, you use it for this time, and nothing else. So the next step is for the city to review our language, give us back comments, and also they've requested that we give them a calendar of those days and times that we believe are musts for that facility. So we've asked the high school to look at a potential calendar. It's going to take some time to look at all the different sports and events that will be at that facility, and that will be the next item of discussion, which is our time desired, our time needed versus their time desired. And that's all I have at this point.
Cool. On the considerations, with the, let's say, Del Norte and Coronado right now, the baseball field's there. Do we do... I know we do the watering, but do we do all the maintenance, or does the city do the maintenance on those fields because we're not using those school fields?
You know, we just looked at one of them, so let me quote one of them, which is Del Norte, because we were just looking at it. We do the watering, the irrigation, maybe not to the level that they would like, but at least we do it. They do some of the, I'm not really sure what to call it, the expert work whenever it's needed. I guess it would be like pruning and things like that. And they have done some of the mowing in the other areas. What I would like to do at some point as we incorporate these things is clearly delineate who does what so that it's very clear. In fields like that, we also have no understanding of what happens if there's excessive wear and tear. You know, Edgewood is a good example. So those are the type of things that we want to begin to incorporate, who does what, when, and just make it very clear.
And then when we look at the new field, and it will be very difficult to if there, let's say there was some major damage, to determine who does that major damage. It would be he said, she said, if it was ripped up and it happened sometime in between 3 when school let out and they found it at 8 o'clock the next morning, who actually...
You're right. It is very difficult with one exception. If we are at least as careful as we would want to be, and I, as the partner agency of the district, take possession of the field from Friday night until Sunday evening for an event, a track event. And we come in on Monday morning, and a 4-foot section of the track has been lifted. We probably have enough ability to work with them in order to preserve the relationship to say, You need to help with that. I have seen in the past situations where agencies have trouble because of a repair, and most of the time there's at least a level of cooperation if the time can be defined. Now, if it's one of those that nobody knows who was there at that time, you know, that's why we also build a little bit of capital to do improvements when both agencies are cooperating.
Because we're opening it to the public. I can understand if it was an event they were going to use it for, the city, a track and field or a soccer event or some other event. But when it's open to the public...
That's the problem with the opening to the public. Then it falls a little more under Civic Center Act. And that's why I continue to ask the city, if they're agreeable, to develop a fund to maintain the facilities. That's where we would use things like that, because neither agency will feel solely responsible for something as this did on a week. They haven't agreed.
But didn't they effectively say that when we're not using it, it's theirs?
They have said that.
Okay.
At this
and
point,
so
it
then,
is not,
then,
is not clear
then follows with that, in my mind anyway, when we're not using it,
it's
the liability is theirs.
We could say that. The language
yes,
that
could.
I have, I don't think would stand to that type of conclusion. But we can put it in. Absolutely.
They're taking that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
no. No.
So
I understand.
Anything else, George?
Okay.
Sorry.
First off, all where did the 10 years come in? That's to me seems like a lot of times.
Well, the only reason why we wrote 10 is that they originally asked for 20. And our agreements in the past have been for, I think 9 of them have been for less than 5 to 10 years. It's a draft. We don't have to be at 10. We can be at 5. We can be at 3. At some point, they're going to equate whatever contributions they make to the length of time. I would do that if I was negotiating for them. You give me a 1-year agreement, I'm going to give you a dollar. You give me a 2-year agreement, I'll give you 100. Give me a 3-year, I'll give you 1,000. Something like that. So it really, it's a draft. We could put any length of time. Since we're writing it, it's a
it just seems like a long time to incumbent somebody in the future that would be involved with the agency.
It's not uncommon for facilities agreements to be more than 10 years, just because you don't want to be negotiating something like that every couple of years. But we could do it any length that the board desires.
And that's
I mean it'll all but the, see the excuse me George I'm sorry.
Well no I just. I wasn't finished, but if you have something to interject, it just seems like a long time to me, and I like the 5-year.
Well,
way it's
let me just interject, then I'll go on. But, I mean, it'd be basically, I mean, it's always going to be public property. So, you know, so the length of term really is kind of irrelevant. They have, Civic Center's always going to be available to them.
Yeah, it's just the way it's, I don't know, I like looking at things again more often, frequently. I never say never. Who knows? There may be townhouses on there. But anyway,
George,
not my suggestion. But in terms of the things, like I watched Coronado, and they, you know, I was driving by there the other day, and I believe there's 2 new electronic scoreboards up there, and it seems just as fast as we're opening the middle school there, it seems just as fast as the Little League or whoever the city is putting electronic signs and building that property up. How do we resolve that, or what are we going to do?
How do we get one of those signs at the high school?
Yeah, either that or you just, oops, we unplugged it.
We didn't have that one.
Sorry.
But, I mean, are we going to be able to resolve that? Because I see eventually some sort of clash becoming between the two.
Well, we haven't negotiated that site. Right now, the goal is to at least agree to some common language that we haven't had. As we negotiate the sites, you will see the proposals.
So they'll come back to us as individual agreements.
Or we go to them and say, we have a site that we want to address next. I was going to start working right next door.
Yeah, well, that's what I was addressing at this 5.4.
Yeah. But I still don't understand, what about, it just seems like the improvements, like a Coronado, just, we just seem, next thing we know, we have a sign, we have a fence, we have things that go up there, and we don't really know about it.
No, that's this whole. Yeah, that's this whole thing. You have individual joint use agreements set forth. So it's a completely separate agreement dealing on each of those, using this as a foundation, and then we talk about the specifics.
And if they agree to this, and let's say they erect a digital scoreboard in one of our fields, and suddenly the board says, you know, that's nice, it goes to the high school now. Because of the way the agreement is written, they could have all the challenges in the world the moment it's erected in our facilities. If this sticks, it's yours.
And then, so.
Hardball.
Well,
I'm sure they're not going to like it, but that's the way it's written right
well,
now.
Well, what's the current status of that now? I mean, that's our property. We can take that back at any time.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be ugly, but we can do it.
Exactly. It would be ugly.
That's the problem. I mean, that's ugly. I just see a middle school going in there. Suddenly we're going to be going out to, I don't know where. I don't know how you draw up plans without ignoring the parking lot that's gone into there, and it's I don't envy you at all trying to balance that out, but somewhere along the line, it could become quite ugly, because I'm sure the parents are looking out there. That's our field.
Have you been to West Cove in the last couple of weeks?
What? Been by?
Been by West Cove the last couple of weeks? You see that big pile of stuff in the middle of the playground? That's what happens. That's when we need that, you get a big pile of asphalt.
Anyway, back to where we were. So, but
okay. So let me just tell you that they have a draft,
right,
okay, that they've given to their attorney,
right,
to look at. They came to a meeting with a one pager, okay, saying we want it Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, this time, this month. We said, thank you very much. But before we even get to those specifics, we want to tell you where we're heading in terms of a master agreement, and we want you to know that we have to go to the high school first and say, when do you need it? Okay, that's one. Secondly, the message has been, we want to cooperate and have our field and, you know, our schools open to the community, but at all times we have to have an agreement about what that use is, so that it isn't that you just walk on. You just, you know, Mr. Cox decides he's going to go to the track, and he's there at midnight, and we don't know about it, okay? That field will not be open at midnight unless the city says, Mr. Cox has requested to go jogging at midnight.
Well, that's
so there will be an accountability for the use of our site. We will still cooperate, but there will be an accountability for the use of our site.
Because in coming back to the high school field, that's exactly what I was looking at, was in terms of when we put this all together, when we devised this, it was all in talking for student use and for competition and things of this nature. But it bothers me now that suddenly we're talking about open use. Are we talking about open use? Or I don't mind Gavin.
They are. We're not.
We're not. Yeah. That's because I can see, you know, somebody going on there and playing a soccer game. I can't see it being used in the same manner that it would be as Edgewood because of this liability situation and the wear and tear on the field.
The liability is no different than at Edgewood.
Well, except for one thing. Edgewood, if you have people come out on soccer night and they're playing out there in soccer, I'm going to guarantee you they're going to have people at the side sitting in beach chairs. And as careful as the city's going to say, one of those beach chairs isn't going to have a rubber stopper on the bottom. It's going to punch a hole in the field. And it just goes on. Not only that, the wear and tear of walking around the field, somebody does. Lights a barbecue off, knocks it over. You've got $1 million worth of track out there, $700,000 worth of track, suddenly torn up, burnt. Whereas if it was in dirt, it'd be something else. So I like the idea of restricting it. One last thing, on the $500,000,
yeah,
is this for the total joint agreement or just for the high school?
For the track and field at the high school.
High school. So that's what we're negotiating in terms of that.
Yes.
Okay.
So if I can play on that, when this was first brought forward to the city, they had in their open meetings and brought up this idea of $500,000. Well, this is at a time when, you know, this was an unknown, a risky kind of a situation. We didn't know what the cost was going to be. We didn't know whether or not we were going to be able to fund it. We didn't know a lot of things. We didn't know how it was going to set up. We didn't know how much it was going to cost. We didn't know anything else. So they threw out. So that was at a time when, you know, there was more risk. Now they're coming into it later after we took all the risk, and they're saying, oh, by the way, here's, you know, a few bucks your way, which they said, well, isn't really $500,000. It's $500,000. Well, but, you know, we need to do the same thing at, well, no, we have to do this kind of agreement first. And then the next step was, well, don't forget Nogales, South Hills, Covina, and Baldwin Park high schools, because they all service West Covina residents, and we need to put $500,000 on that. We can't afford it. So, gee, we don't know what we're going to do in this whole thing. So, anyway, I know. Were you able to find out how much either Laverne or Alhambra gave in forwarding, or even La Puente or Bassett?
No, the amount that they quoted was $750,000.
Yeah.
But they believe it was for both projects. But I only got to one of the facilities offices, so that's the best I was able to.
At Laverne?
At Laverne.
Yeah, Laverne. And that, it seems to me that in the paper it said that they'd given $1 million. It would seem to me that this commitment that we did, now I think the price is perhaps a little bit higher, and we ought to look towards
It turned out excellent. It turns out phenomenal. It's going to be a great site. And we took all the risk. And we took all the commitment. We did everything. And now they want to come back and say, oh, by the way, here's a few bucks. And I think that the price should be higher now. All right.
Does it bother me?
You know, again, my issue has always been making sure we cover the maintenance costs. And I don't know if we have a number on what we're currently paying to maintain things that the city uses. You know, the things you talked about, Dunwoody, we got Coronado, we got, you know, the wear and tear at Edgewood. And that's really what my concern is, because I still have that balance where I do think these things should be open to the public and open to these kinds of events, because the public are the people that pay for it. At the same time, for city things, the city should not be being able to do these kinds of events out of our budgets. You know, that should come out of their budgets, not ours. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's, again, the dual conflict I have. You know, 10 years, you know, that doesn't bother me if the price is right, that covers everything. You know, if that's what it takes to get the deal, you know, then, you know, I'm fine with that. But, you know, that's where I'm coming from. And I noticed, you know, we approved the YMCA agreements. You know, we took a step there where it had the capital improvement component in there where, you know, they may be getting the dollar rent, and in the past they've been getting the dollar rent and capital improvements, mm-hmm. you know, which is a loss for us and mm-hmm. comes out of our budgets. And in there they're paying for capital improvements.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so that's, you know, that's the other aspect of it as well, is that if there's an expectation that there's going to be something there that we don't need for our educational mm-hmm. program, then, you know, that shouldn't be on the back of out of the school budgets. You know, that was one of the issues with the park over here, the park, with Edgewood, with the lights, you know, where they wanted us to pay for the lights. You know, our kids aren't there at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, they're there, but they're not there as part of the educational program. So the city, you know, had to take the responsibility for that. And I think that's appropriate in some of these areas as well.
And I don't think we have to feel guilty about making that open. I mean, our facilities are open and working. You go by the high school, you go by Edgewood, you go by West Cove on Sunday morning, you look at go to Del Norte. A lot of our space is being used as community. And in fact, we want to be restrictive in some areas. I don't think that should be construed as we're being selfish or taking away from the community in the process.
Be careful. A lot of our schools are locked.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. not until 10.
None. Period.
No, locked.
Period. So, I mean,
one gate open till 10.
No.
No.
So not at Holland Crest, not at Cameron,
right.
Not at Orangewood.
Not at Willowwood.
I thought we went through this one.
Huh? Open?
If you walk around, sometimes you got to walk around.
Willowwood's not open. I look for a way on.
I mean, that's where I'm coming from in all this.
But those are special. Do they have special permits? Okay. All right. Well, that's it. Do you have any other questions for us? Anything that you like?
So basically, just to make sure that you're comfortable with the direction that we're taking, and we'll proceed to inform you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, in our. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
The city is.
Any other Board of Education discussion?
Thank you. I just have one quick thing, and this is for Ruben, probably after the superintendent directs him to do it. But and that is that, you know, I noticed I got a notice about the sewer fee increases from the city, which obviously when that goes through is something that we'll have to pay. And I'm curious how many different, and it goes into this discussion, because I know we pay the tax, you know, for the trees out front here, you know, and the light in front of our schools. And I know we pay all those kinds of things. And I'd like to know what kind of number it is in those kinds of taxes and fees that we pay for all those different districts. I know the sewer one, I guess, is going up. I'd like to know roughly what that is. Because I know we pay the maintenance lighting one or whatever it was.
Okay, anybody else? I have one thing. On the 4th of July, the city held a function at the school across the street, and I was watching the city council meeting last week, and I noticed that at the end of the meeting, each and every one of the city council members chose and took it upon themselves to thank various members of the city staff, certain members of the community, and thanking them for their help in making the 4th of July activities and functions a very positive one. What they forgot to do
was to take the time to recognize a very major participant in that program, and that's the West Covina Unified School District. So I take this time to thank the school district for providing the facilities, Stuart Moe and his staff, Jim Pritchie, the maintenance staff that was there on the 4th of July. I'll even go as far as to even thank that Reuben guy for everything that he did. I mean, we did.
Do we want to put a thank you note as a requirement as one that's like 15 in the master?
Yeah, we should be recognized. You know, pat on the head, that sort of thing. You know, would be nice. You know, anyway, we did a lot. It was a great function. It was a great program that went on there, and I hope we'll take that into consideration next year when they come knocking at our door.
So they're going to have it big league dreams.
Yeah, in your dreams. They're going to charge? I don't think so. It'll be here. Trust me. Okay. Any other board business? We have a board meeting on August 14th.
The time may be earlier.
Yeah, the time may be earlier, like 5:30-ish on the 14th. So watch your agendas carefully. And there be no further business. We'll adjourn the meeting at 7:57.
Anyone wishing to celebrate Mr. Spence's birthday is welcome to join us for cake in the other room.
Because he just loves it when I do that.
I hate it. That's why we didn't.